Well, good morning and happy Easter. I might have just gotten replaced. That was really good. Really, really good. Well, thank you so much for being a part of our 3-hour worship service this morning. All right. That's my only April Fool's joke for those of you still sticking around. Man, I'm so glad to have you here, and thank you so much. As I mentioned before, man, I know that you could be anywhere today, and thank you for choosing Living Hope as your place of worship this morning. As it goes on each and every single day, whether you're here or whether you're at home or whether you're in the workplace, keep making each day a worship place of the resurrected Savior. This last week, I spoke about the cross. I spoke about what he went through us, through so much for each and every single one of us. And this is the last week of my series on how to deepen your faith. It's been several weeks of knowing how to look at our own lives and try to figure out, how can I grow each and every day with the Lord? How is this religion so much different from the other religions that are being practiced and preached out there? And the fact of the matter is that this really isn't a religion, it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how we can deepen our faith each and every day is by being in God's Word and praying and being unified together as a body of believers. My prayer is that because you're here today, you'll understand he is risen. So that should make us want to go out and tell everybody else and double the size next week, right? We should be doubling. We should be multiplying. We should be increasing each and every week. Because it's not just about this one day, this Easter Sunday. It should be about every single day that we're telling this story that Catherine's talking about. Speaking of stories, it's funny, when I was a kid, I absolutely loved Easter. I love Christmas too. It's a toss-up. Well, actually, I don't know which one I like more. I love Christmas. Who doesn't love Christmas? But when it comes to Easter, I loved Easter, especially as a kid, because I woke up, you know, we knew about going to church and about this resurrected Jesus Christ, but I loved going to Ferd's Cafeteria afterwards, and then I know that there was something special set aside for us as little kids. This great hunt for all the goodies that we're going to be throwing all over the yard for me to go get. And to be honest, it really wasn't that hard of a hunt. Especially if my dad probably hit him. Yeah. Let's eat. It was more or less a race, though, against my brothers and my sister to get the most eggs in the basket. But as we got older, the hunt did not get any easier. The race got much harder. And as we began to look at our own personal lives and our own way of things that we're hunting for and the things that we're racing for in life, that may be true for you as well as you begin and look at your own life. Is the hunt getting harder for you? Is the race getting more challenging for you? And when you look at your basket and you look at your life and you look at all the things that you have been consuming over this past year, over your lifetime, what does your face look like? What does your face look like? I love little kids, you know, when you always ask them, hey, did you eat that? No. Well, what? Are you sure? No. Well, what is all that all over your face? I don't know. It looks like chocolate all over your face. Is that chocolate? No. And sometimes we live out that story where even though we consumed all these things, we want to believe in ourselves that we really didn't consume all that, even though it's really smeared all over our hearts and our faces, and the world can see it by how we consume. So I have a tune for you. And it goes a little... No, I'm just kidding. That's all right. It was a good tune. I liked it. What are we willing to give each day to our life story? See, when we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is that question that speaks honestly to me as a Christian believer. See, here's the deal. I don't think we all need, as a Christian, we don't really need to convince each other that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. There's no dispute. There's no worry really anymore in terms of apologetics of really trying to prove that Jesus Christ resurrected on the third day. There should not be any more worries about that. If it were not true, then our faith would have already died with Jesus literally weeks after that. And the fact that Jesus' story is still being played out 2,000 years with a relationship or a religion of 2 billion wide, every single continent in the whole entire world except for Antarctica, only because of the penguins. Are believers in this one evidence that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. I love what Charles Colson wrote when he was thinking about this whole idea of evidence and proof. And Charles Colson wrote this: I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, and then they proclaimed that the truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, and stoned and put into prison. They would not have endured that if it were not true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. And you're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? It's absolutely impossible. So I ask the question again to all of us. What am I? As your pastor, what are you, as the church, willing to give our life to today? What's your story? Has anyone ever asked you that? What's your story? What are you living your life for each and every day? And it's a question I think that we need to get answered today. If you'll open up your Bibles, because there's where the answer really lies, to Luke chapter 23. 50 through 56. Luke chapter 23, 50 through 56. And if you don't have your Bibles, it will be placed up here for you to be able to read. One of the greatest noises in the world and the greatest sounds is the opening up of God's Word. Luke chapter 3, 50 through 56. I want to share a message with you about one man's faith that has truly inspired me, and I hopefully will encourage you and inspire you to live your story out each and every day. My prayer is that this story may come alive in you today. Do you need something to come alive to you and inside you today? Do you need something? Do you need Jesus to come alive in your life today, to be able to live a story that is beyond anything that you have ever heard or felt? We pick up the story where Jesus had just been crucified. When you look at the cross and when you think about all what he went through, and if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back to the cross. I encourage you to go back 2,000 years ago as he was taken, as he went 24 hours without eating and drinking, as he was taken from one place, as he was taken to another place, Nobody knew really what to do with them. All they know is that he claimed to be the Son of God. This is what put him to death. And there they took him. And it became very, very much rated R. As a matter of fact, when I watch the Passion of the Christ, I kind of look away. I kind of don't want to deal with it, to be honest with you, because it's that gruesome. And there's a lot of kids here today, and maybe in your own way, you can share the story of the cross and all the things that he went through for you and for me. See, it was a part of God's plan that was sung about. It was a great Friday. It was a great Friday. And now comes into play a man named Joseph. Now, this was not the great Joseph of Israel that's talked about in Genesis in the Old Testament, the savior of the great nation of Israel. This was not the great Joseph, the father of Jesus of Nazareth, and who was betrothed and then married to Mother Mary. Instead, there was another Joseph, and there were several others, but there was a third Joseph, a man from Arimathea, who was often looked, even if you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who is still overlooked because his story was only just a few verses. And maybe our story seems right now, maybe your story only seems like it's just a few verses long right now in your life. And let's pick up Luke chapter 23 through 50. Now behold, there was a man through 50 of a council member, part of the Sanhedrin, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed, and he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. And this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock. And there was no one that had ever laid before. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandments. His story, as you read, is 6 verses long. And maybe he finally asked the question that I'm asking us as a church. As he watched from a distance, as he watched his Lord and Savior from a distance, from a far distance, as it stood over there on the hill of Golgotha, the place of the skulls, and he's watching, as he looked at his life, as he was seeing his life, that he believed in him, just like Nicodemus did at nighttime when he came to him, and he believed in him, and he was born again. He asked Christ to come into his life, and he watched from a distance, a great distance, as the man that he believed in gave the ultimate price. See, Joseph was a wealthy man. He was a powerful man. And he was a secret man. And he was a secret man. A follower of Jesus, or more or less maybe a fan of Jesus. He served as a Pharisee, part of the Sanhedrin, a council member. But at that point, he continued to only live out 6 verses of his life, because his life was focused on so many other things that it really was the 12 disciples. It was other people that continued to live out more of the stories and the verses. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever believed? Have you ever just respected? Have you ever just honored? Have you ever just worked? Have you ever just come to church? Did you ever just give a little bit of money but not really receive him personally in your life? See, I believe out of the 2 billion, there are still hundreds of millions of people that believe in God, respect him, honor him, give to him, will come to church and live out the 6 verses in their life, but something is going to happen. Life happens. They're still writing their story. We're writing our story each and every day. And the problem is that we go from just belief to not receiving Jesus Christ. And this series is all about how to deepen your faith. And one way that you got to deepen your faith and how you can deepen your faith is not just ask the question, what am I willing to give to my life today, but to live out that question. How can we live out the question that I'm asking? James 2:17 says this in the NIV, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? Dead. Let me say it in a different way, NLT. Faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Church, family, and those that will listen later on, let me tell you something. It's not the good deeds that are going to get you into heaven. It never has been and it never will be. But I'm telling you right now, it does allow heaven to know if you are for real. It won't get you into heaven. But it will allow heaven to know if you are wanting to live out more than 6 verses of your life for him. It's critical to remember the actions that Joseph of Arimathea, I want you to think about it. He was dead. He doesn't spend any time with Jesus Christ. He's not spending any time with the disciples. He's going on living his life. He's working for the Sanhedrin. He's on the council. He's doing his own thing. He's living. He's not around Jesus. They didn't have a discussion. Hey, when I'm dead, by the way, what I'll need you to do is I need you to go to Pilate and then ask for Pilate to bring me to give me the body, and then you're going to take care of my body, and then you're going to prepare it, and then you're going to do all this stuff. And by the way, go ahead and let Nicodemus to come along. That never happened. I want you to think about that. This is a man that had nothing else. He was not doing anything else with Jesus. Never had a conversation. Never was a part of the 12. And while he's dead, from a fan, from a distance, something happened in his life right then. I think Joseph was probably wrestling with some things in his life. Let me ask you. Is anyone in here wrestling with some things in your life? The things that I'm saying, you know, in some things, in some ways, you know, we want to walk out of church always encouraged. There's no doubt about that. But I also want us to walk out of church and reality of what God's word says. I cannot shy away from what Scripture says. We must look at, and sometimes we must wrestle with wondering if, are we just becoming a fan of Christ, or are we truly wanting to be a follower of him? So what's going to get the angel singing in heaven today? What got the angels singing in heaven? What got Jesus Christ stand up from off the ground and off the throne and begin to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Because while all the disciples fled, while all the disciples were confused, while all the disciples were fearful, not knowing what to do because they're watching their Savior and their Lord crucified on the cross, not a single one of them asked to receive Jesus Christ, except for one. Joseph of Arimathea chose. He had not only faith, but he had action that moment. That day, he chose to receive the dead body. Let me tell you something. All the others, they chose a risen body. He chose a dead body. He received a dead body. While all his own inner circle had left, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they received a dead body knowing that he's dead. He wasn't coming back. He would never see him again unless he saw his face in heaven. He didn't even know that he was going to resurrect. None of them knew. He said it. He said, "You destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days." But no one was believing at that point because he was dead. Joseph went from the inner circle of the Sanhedrin to the inner circle of a disciple of Jesus. He went from a secret admirer and became a public servant. Think about that. How many of you in your life, when you're getting challenged with different things in the community, in your workplace, in the school place, and all the things that you do, maybe at times in your life, like if you're like me, even at my workplace, oh, this is one of my workplaces, but I still go live another 50 hours in the public schools. And there's times in my life where I have to become this secret, sometimes a fan, admirer of Jesus Christ, because I can't say everything I want to say. And you know what? Even if I could, sometimes I still don't. Sometimes I just fear. Sometimes I'm just secret. Sometimes I just give in. Sometimes I've given up, and sometimes I've just given over to other things. Because as Catherine says, we're not perfect. What you see is what you get sometimes. There are so many times I'm walking around with chocolate all over my face, and I haven't come clean with what I've done. And the world can see it. You ever been there, church? Joseph chose Jesus to come alive in him. Will you? We've made it 1 hour. 2 hours left. Taking on Jesus Christ was a declaration. I'm just kidding. Taking on Jesus Christ, a crucified criminal, is a public declaration of your love. Think about that. It's a public declaration of your love. If you want to take a criminal off that cross that just got through getting nailed and whipped and thorns going all into his skull, and you want to say, can I have that body? Was a public declaration that you absolutely love this person, that you're saying he is family to me. That's what that meant, because let me tell you something. All the other 10,000 crucified criminals up there, they were still left up there until the birds and the animals got to them. And Joseph of Arimathea already knew that. And he said publicly, no more. I want Jesus alive in me. I am taking him off the cross, and I am going to prepare a place for him. And the Roman guards were probably just laughing. Are you kidding me? See, when the birds are done with him, we just throw him in a grave with all the others. But Joseph could no longer be a secret admirer. He could no longer just be a fan. See, John 19:38, I didn't show it to you in this one because John's words says it better. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus, but watch this, but secretly for fear of the Jews, watch this, but living a double life, Troy's version, for fear of the people, for fear of work, for fear of the schools for fear of family disputes, for fear of having to take time to explain your answers, for you to take time and to be able to share with people, for people to maybe knock on your door. For fear in the time and all those things that we do, we just say, I don't think so today. Let me ask you, church, all of us can be this way from time to time. See, Jesus never asked any of his disciples to be a spy for him. He asked us to become followers of him. Jesus doesn't need another spy in this world. He needs a follower. This is why this church should be doubled in size and every other church everywhere around that is worshiping the resurrected Savior of the Lord should be doubling in size. We should be going out telling this story. We shouldn't be waiting until next Easter to fill up the pews. Our pews and our chairs and our churches and our communities should be radically changed because of this, because no longer are we spies for Him. Jesus offers an abundant life that's waiting for everyone. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, John 10:10. And most of us in our life, sometimes we are wasting it, hunting and racing for things and all these goodies. And it's just not part of the real story. I like what one man wrote. He said, my life is filled with a great cast. I just don't know the plot. My life is filled with a great cast, a great audience of people. People that God has put in our lives, but the problem is I don't know my story. I don't know my lines. I don't know what the plot is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And we miss out. And we live for just six verses when God is telling you, I got books to write about you. Ephesians 1:19 through 20 says, I love the Living Bible as it shares this. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great God's power really is to help those who believe Him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Where do you need God's mighty power to resurrect in your life today? See, we're trying to resuscitate things all the time that's dying in our life. Do you ever find things that aren't working out so great and then all of a sudden you're... And you're trying to resuscitate it with all the other things? Or sometimes we just try to do things in our own way? Sometimes we ask for help to do a little bit of CPR on things. But notice, it just doesn't seem to work. Or if it does work, it goes back to the same type of life. You don't need to resuscitate. We need to resurrect it. We need to resurrect the things through God's Holy Spirit, through His power. Even doubting Thomas needed a little pep talk. Even doubting Thomas needed a little bit of convincing before his faith was changed. What will it be like for us? What do we need? What do we need in our life to resurrect things in our own faith? Is there anything that's holding you back from believing? Is there anything that's holding you back from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ? See, I believe that if God can resurrect Jesus, He can resurrect your marriage. I believe He can resurrect your friendships. I believe if God can resurrect Jesus, He can resurrect your debt, your lust, your addictions, your pride, your prayers, your life, your bad attitude, your depression, and the lack of faith that we have from time to time. I believe He can resurrect every part of your day. Every part of our life that's lacking things that we just look at and we say, I feel empty right now. Let's not worry about resuscitating. Let's go to the source and resurrect it. There's always people in this world that want to convince you there's another way. And I'm telling you, there's not. Even the smartest man since Albert Einstein, thinking that there's some other way, and there's not. Boy, is he surprised right now. Stephen Hawking, the most intelligent man since Albert Einstein, says this: we are only monkeys on a small planet, but we can understand the universe. That makes somebody special. Stephen Hawking missed out on having Jesus Christ alive in him. What do you think his testimony and his story could be? Everyone's going to forget about Stephen Hawking. He's like a vapor now. After this service, ask any kid today when they're searching for eggs. And they go around looking for all the eggs. And when they collected all the eggs and they picked up all the eggs in the shells, and when it's time for them to consume and they open up one by one, and guess what? There's nothing in there. Imagine their faces. Some of you will be thinking, we came all the way this way. We sat through the 3-hour worship service and all you gave us was plastic eggs and no chocolate. Or what if all the kids, they collected all the eggs out there, but you parents, you gave them a basket that had a hole in it. That's on you. That's not me anymore. And by the time they're ready to consume it, there's not one single egg left for them. What would they say? What would they look like to you? They would say to you, we came all this way. We sat in the back of the nursery for 3 hours waiting for an empty basket. Are you kidding me? Lake Point has 20,000 over there. They would say that was a waste of time. They would say, I don't want to do this again if all we get is empty shells. And millions upon millions of people are racing and hunting things that are empty and falling out of their baskets every single day. It's 3 hours. I want to close. Historians say that there was more than 6 verses to this man's story. Joseph, after receiving, not just believing, after he had received the Lord and Savior, after he stepped out in faith and said, I want Jesus Christ to come alive in me, he went to Great Britain about 3 years after the resurrection. He was 44 years old. And it was said that he had shared Christ with over 1,000 people at Glastonbury. And 3 Christian writers testified and confirmed that he baptized at the city of Wells, 4 miles from this place. 18,000 people. That's what Joseph of Arimathea did. He helped convert kings and nobles. And he actually helped plant one of the earliest churches in the world. Joseph of Arimathea was no longer a secret admirer of Jesus Christ, but for the next 42 years of his life, he hunted lost people, and he raised not to be able to give, but he raced to give every single person an opportunity to not just believe, but to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. He gave the greatest gift in the world. Josephus and other writers write about Joseph of Arimathea when he passed away at age 86. It is said that six kings from all over the region honored his body by carrying him on their shoulders. Six different kings honoring him, carrying him to his empty tomb. An inscription, they wrote this: "Here lies the body of that most noble disciple, recorded in Scripture by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, and noted by four of the gospel writers, the four evangelists, St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John, for his begging the body of the blessed Savior when crucified to redeem lost men from eternal destruction and burying it in a tomb of his own making." I want to leave you with these encouraging words. How many believers are here? And how many receivers are here? See, that's the real question. We can believe and we can respect and we can honor and we can see you next Easter. Or you can believe and receive the greatest gift known to the world. Easter. Will you let him, will you allow him to come alive in you? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for each person that is here today. Father, it is our prayer that we don't just believe, but we also receive you in our life. Easter is such a great reminder that God, that it takes sometimes a little bit more than just faith, it takes action also. That we must take action in receiving you, declaring you, publicly saying to the whole entire world, risking it all, that you are Lord and Savior of our life and you are the true risen King. I pray that each person here today will live and share their story to the world. I know it's going to be hard at times. I know our faith is at times it's going to lack, and maybe we're going to fear some things. But I pray that we can learn from this story, these six verses, that there's so much more. Father God, would you come alive in each one of us? For this is your day, and may we receive you. In Christ's name, amen.